Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus is speaking here, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, as we read a passage like that, our eyes automatically are drawn, at least I think they are, drawn to verse 33, which is such a famous verse in this passage, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many sermons I've heard on that, and what a wonderful promise that is, that if we'll seek first God's kingdom, put Him first, then all these other things that were mentioned, eating and drinking and clothing, would be added unto you. But that's not the verse I want us to see today. You may have thought, oh, we're going to preach on verse 33. No, I want us to see verse 34 today. And that says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's bow for prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you that we can open the Word of God and look at it and read it. Have understanding, and we pray now, Lord, as we bring this message, that it'll be a blessing to each one. Lord, most of all, I pray that it'll be a help to someone. Lord, I pray you'll use it to help me. And Father, we just ask for your divine help today as we look at Scripture. May the Holy Spirit teach us and guide us through the truth. And we'll be sure to give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Several times through this passage, this phrase pops up. Well, we'll see it here in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, and it's the next three words, take no thought. And if we come down verse 28, and he says, why take ye thought? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. And then finally in verse 34, Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought, there's that word again, thought for the things of itself. The word take no thought, that phrase take no thought, apparently back in the 1600s when our Bible was written or translated, that would be a popular thing to say to somebody. If someone were to express some worry or some concern to you, you might say to them, take no thought. Take no thought about it, brother. In other words, don't worry yourself or don't give too much thought about it. It's going to be okay. And that was a common way of expressing that back in those days. Take no thought. We also understand that as we do think about things, the more we think about something, it tends to amplify it and magnify it in our mind. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but just keep that thought in mind too. The more we think about something. Just a few days ago, Brother Kevin Lintner and I, myself, were discussing something about preaching. And just because I'm preaching today and next Sunday, but he's preaching or teaching this coming Wednesday and I think the following Wednesday, we were just talking about preparation. And he said this to me. He goes, you know, sometimes I just think before I preach, I ask myself, what do I need? And he goes, I just figure if I can come up with what I need, there's probably a real good chance others may need it too. And I just get up there and preach to myself, and hopefully others can use the same thing. And I didn't say anything about that. But this week when I was preparing this message for today, I thought, man, that's so true what Brother Kevin said. I never thought of that before, but what I'm going to talk about today, guess what? I need it. I need it. And so this morning I might just be preaching to myself, and you can listen in, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But the title of the message this morning is this: I choose to trust. I choose to trust. You know, throughout life there's many choices that we could make. And some of those choices, yea, many of those choices, can actually change our lives and alter how we live. And some of those choices can be bad and change us for the worse, and hopefully that's not going to be the case. But some choices we make actually improve our lives, and yea, they change our lives for good and for God. And that's the kind of choice I want to talk to you about today. I choose to trust. Again, our text verse is verse number 34. I'll just read it again. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. For many years in my early Christian life, I'd read that passage, that last verse, verse 34, and I would say to myself and say to the Lord, Lord, what in the world does that mean? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean, Lord? Many years I would struggle with that, try to figure that out. And I finally figured it out. One day the Lord showed it to me. And it just simply means this: there's enough problems today just to worry about that and not be worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. So sufficient unto the day, today, is the evil thereof. There's enough problems to deal with today. But notice throughout this passage that the Lord Jesus keeps telling the disciples, take no thought. Take no thought. He could say it another way. He could say this: don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't worry. You say, Brother Kelly, why are you preaching this message to you? Because I am a worrier. I wish I would have said a warrior. I'd like to be a warrior, but I'm a worrier. Well, not too bad, but I do, ask my wife, I do tend to worry sometimes. If I just start thinking like the Lord asked us not to do, don't be anxious, don't think about it, don't take thought about what you're going to eat tomorrow, what you're going to wear tomorrow, what you're going to drink tomorrow. He said, look, just today is sufficient, take care of today. But boy, if I get on that trail, how are we going to pay that bill? Or boy, how are we going to do this? Or how are we going to do that? Or what's going to happen when we get there? And all that starts churning in my mind. What does that do? It creates a lot of anxiety. It creates a lot of unrest in my spirit. And little do I know and understand, it also sends a message to the Lord that, Lord, I'm not trusting you very much right now because I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about some uncertainties. I'm worried about this challenge or this storm. And Lord, I guess if I'm honest with myself, I'm not trusting you very much right now because I'm worried. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and I hope it'll be a help to you if you tend to fall into that trap of worry. You know, I don't think that many of us wake up on a morning and say, you know what? I don't have enough to worry about today. I really don't have enough on my plate today. I think I'll borrow some from tomorrow or the next day or next week and heap that on me today. And also I'm going to even imagine some other things to pile on myself. And that's what I need to do. No, none of us ever do that. At least not consciously. And that would be a poor choice, wouldn't it? If we were to say, I don't have enough on my plate today, I think I'll borrow from tomorrow. That'd be a bad choice. And yet, the Lord knew that that would be the very thing that we would struggle with. I do it. Maybe you do it too. I borrow from tomorrow's worries. Oh, I've got that exam in 3 days, or I've got, you know, or whatever it is. I borrow and I begin to, instead of take no thought, I give a lot of thought. And that stirs up the anxiety and the worry. So that would be a bad choice to borrow from tomorrow's worries. But as I said, it's a choice that it's something that Jesus knew that we would struggle with. And I think as the Lord looks at us and wants to help us with this idea of worry and anxiety and struggling with uncertainties, that He would try to have us to compartmentalize. In other words, you know, I can't really do anything about the past. That's what forgiveness is for. Amen? Any of those goof-ups I made in the past, whatever, that's why I have forgiveness. And I really can't change or know what's coming in the future. All I can do is live for today. So if I could compartmentalize and say, okay, that's the past, I have forgiveness. The future, I have no idea what's coming down the pike. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know the one who holds the future. But I can deal with today and handle today. Amen? And the Lord wants us to do that compartmentalizing and try to just focus on today. You see, you are not wired for worry. Me either. We're not wired for worry. We're not fashioned for fear. We're not made for misery. That just doesn't work how the Lord wants us to live. Those things kind of short circuit us. It's like if you were to put sand in the gas tank of the bus, Brother Bill. You put sand in the gas tank, what's going to happen? It's going to gunk up the carburetor or whatever. It's not going to work. It's like if you put a virus in your computer. Oh boy, look out. You ever get your computer just has a mind of its own? Start, you know, doing all kind of weird things like, what in the world? Come to find out there's a virus in there. Yeah. Well, that's what worry does to us. Worry kind of short circuits our functioning. Worry kind of gums up the things that the Lord wants us to do. And finally, worry so much gums up our spirit, our human spirit, that it crashes the human spirit. And we can't function the way the Lord wants us to function. But you see, the Lord's approach is this. The Lord's approach focuses on today. Not yesterday and not tomorrow. It focuses on today. It focuses on what we can do. What we can do. And His approach includes the choice not to worry, which also leads to the choice to trust. You see, because trust is the antithesis of worry. Trust is the opposite of worry. Trust is faith, basically. It's faith. And it's the opposite of worry and anxiety and doubts. And so God wants us to trust. God wants us to make the choice to trust. And I'm saying today, I choose to trust. Now, I hope I can live what I'm preaching. And I hope that this will be a help to you too. But if we could just choose to trust, I think it would really help us a lot. I want to say that I want to choose to trust God with my future because, number one, I can. Oh, because I can. The Lord has blessed me with a free will. I can choose to trust if I want to. I can also choose to worry. But if I choose by volition, I purposely say, I am going to trust God rather than worry, then I can do that simply because I can. I have that capability. And you have that capability too. You have the capability of making choices, many, many choices every single day. Some choices are good and some choices are bad. Some people say, oh, I can't help it, I just do it. No, no, no. You chose to do it. We have a will to choose what to do, what not to do. You say, well, the temptation was so great. I understand that temptations can be great, but still, it comes down to you choosing to give in to the temptation. When you could have easily said, no, I'm not giving in to the temptation. See, we have a choice. We have a free will. So I choose to trust God simply because I can. Sometimes we give in to sin simply because we can. But we need to trust God. I want to trust the Lord with my future. Number one, just because I can. I have these choices I can make. It takes us back to verse 24, actually, which we did not read. Maybe on purpose. I wanted you to see it now. If we go back to our text and look at verse 24, we see a huge choice here. Verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. Why? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he summarizes it with this statement. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means filthy riches, material possessions. It's not wrong to have riches or possessions, but what he's saying there, you can't serve it. You can't let that be your master. Christ is your master. But we see in that verse the implied choice. Make a choice. Are you going to serve the Lord and focus on Him, or are you going and trust Him, or are you going to serve something else and focus on that and trust that? You can't do both. The Lord says you must make a choice. And it's interesting how that verse kicks off the thought pattern for what we just read after that. And we don't have time to work that out. I just want to stick to the topic at hand here. But it's interesting how if we choose Jesus, we choose trust. If we choose mammon and the circumstances that it brings, then automatically we're kind of in the worry zone. And that, I mean, maybe that's another sermon for another time, but interesting. So we have this choice to make. Not only that, I choose to trust God with my future, not only because I can, but because God invites me to. God invites me to. God invites me to trust Him. By the way, the Bible is one giant invitation, isn't it? Trust me, God says. Trust me. This Bible is a love letter from God, an invitation to trust Him. From page one all the way to last page. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites me to trust Him. But not only because the Bible is one giant invitation, but in that verse 24 we just saw, you cannot serve two masters. Trust is implied there too. Jesus is saying, look, you can't serve both. And He's kind of implying, but I hope you'll choose me. I hope you'll decide to serve me and choose me and serve me and trust me and not the other. It's implied. And then 1 Peter 5:7, we won't turn to it, I'll just read it for you, but it says, and you know this verse, casting all your what? Care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then Hebrews 4:16, another great invitation. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So these are great invitations that God gives. He invites us to trust Him, to come and to trust Him. So I want to trust God with my future because I can. I can make that choice. I can make that decision. I want to trust Him because God invites me to. But thirdly, and this is what I want to look at the rest of our time. Thirdly is this. There's really no other option that works. There's no other option that works. Now let's go back to our text and kind of see this. I want you to notice the rhetorical questions that Jesus asked. And we'll just look probably down through the whole text we just read, but let's pick some things out here. Start in verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or in other words, don't be anxious for your life. What shall ye eat? What shall we drink? And yet your body, what you shall put on. And then he asks this question, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Then he begins to drill down a little further. Verse 26, he says, look, I want you to consider the fowls of the air. For they sow not, they don't plant any seeds. Goes on to say, neither do they reap. They're not out in the field with a sickle or a scythe or a harvester. They don't plant, they don't reap. What else? He says, neither nor gather into barns, so they don't store up. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then he asked this question, are ye not much better than they? Hey, Christian, are you better than a bird? Sure you are. I hope you know. I don't know, some people are like, woe is me. Nobody loves me. I'm nothing but a worm. I guess I'll go eat some worms. So I guess some people have that problem there. But you know what? We're better than birds, in case you didn't know. Didn't realize that. We are the redeemed. We're God's children. We're much better than birds. And he says, look, God takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you. Let's go on. Verse 20. Now, here's a really good question. Verse 27. Jesus, this is an interesting question. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying, how many of you guys, just by thinking about it and worrying about it and giving all that thought to it, how many of you can add time to your life? You're so worried. Are you able, by all this worry and fret, can you add a year to your life? Can you add 6 months to your life? Can you add 5 years to your life? All this worry about what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink and what am I going to wear and how am I going to pay that bill and how am I going to get here and how am I going to do that? All that worry, all that energy that you're expending on worry and doubt and fear, what is it doing for you? Is it adding years to your life? He doesn't say this, but I would propose that no, it takes years off your life if you just live in a constant state of stress. He has some more questions here. It says, verse 28, and why take ye thought? Why are you anxious about raiment, your clothing? And then he gives the illustration. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and toil not. Neither do they spin. They don't have a spinning wheel. They're not out there making their own yarn or whatever. No, but God clothes them. He says, verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Don't you think God can take care of you? The Lord is saying to the people there. Don't you understand that if God can put the flowers in place or clothe the lilies, as he worded it there, or take care of the grass is here today, gone tomorrow. How much more will he take care of you? He can take care of you. You're his child. Are you getting this? The Lord's contemplating with them. Are you getting this? Therefore, verse 31, therefore, don't be anxious. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things, watch it now, do the Gentiles. In other words, he's saying this is what the unbelievers focus on. This isn't how a Christian should be behaving. This isn't how a Christian should be so worried about these things. You should be trusting your Lord, who is your provider and your protector. Let the Gentiles, let the unsaved worry about circumstances and worry and anxiety and wonder what's going to happen tomorrow and have a sense of hopelessness because they have no hope without Jesus Christ. Let them be like that. But you, children of the King, you, children of the kingdom, you can choose to trust God. Because you can. Because He invites you to. And because there's really no other option that works. And then verse 31, or 4, he finishes again with the same phrase. Take no thought. Don't be anxious for the morrow. Or that's tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I believe that, you know, through these questions that Jesus proposes to his disciples, that he's simply saying, look, this, all this worry, all this anxiety about uncertainty, the future, tomorrow, whatever, doesn't change anything. I can't tell you how many times I've worried about something, worried my head off. And you know what? All that worry did not change. It didn't change what the outcome was going to be. Because what it was going to be was what it's going to be. And I just wasted my energy, wasted my thoughts, wasted my time, wasted my emotions on worry. So this morning I want to choose trust. Will you join me with that? Can we just choose, say, Lord, you know what? And by the way, this implies if I'm so worried about the future, then I'm not hanging on to the one who holds the future. He has the future under control. And when I worry about it, I'm basically sending a message to him, Lord, I can't trust you, and I'm not trusting you. I'm worried about this. And his signal back is, well, look, if you'll just trust me, I have the future. I'm already there. Amen. Jesus is already there. He's preparing the way. He knows how it's going to turn out. He knows how he's going to walk through it with you. He knows all of that. You don't need to worry. Just hold his hand. Hold his hand. Choose to trust him. Therefore, worry and anxiety is just useless. Boy, all the worry I've done in my life. That's just a waste of time. So useless. Not profitable. But you know, Jesus put his finger right on the problem in this passage. He says in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you?" What's that last phrase? "O ye of little faith." There's the problem. Faith is trust. He says, you're just not trusting me enough. If you would be trusting me, you wouldn't be asking, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What am I going to wear? How are we going to get taken care of? How's this going to work out? How are we going to accomplish that? How are we going to accomplish this? Jesus said, if you'll just trust me. Oh, you have little faith. Just trust me for the outcome. I'll handle it for you. And so he invites us to trust him. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're coming in for a landing now. But I want to show you a formula that God gives us here. Probably most of you already know where I'm headed with this. Proverbs chapter 3. Wonderful verse. Many of us can quote it. It's even a Bible song. We can sing it. And yet I don't think we live it like we should. Proverbs chapter 3, the very familiar verses 5 and 6. I read it for you. Trust in the Lord. How? With all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I think in those two verses that the Lord gives us the formula, the recipe for, or the antidote for stress, for worry, for anxiety. He says, just trust me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. My own understanding says, oh, how are we going to do it? How are we going to make it? Worry, stress, anxiety. That's my way. That's my understanding. And it says, no, away with that. Lord says, trust me with all your heart. In this verse, we see one prohibition, we see two commands, and we see one promise. The one prohibition is, lean not into your own understanding. The two commands are, trust in the Lord, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. And the promise, the one promise, is at the end there, verse 6, he shall direct thy path. So when you do get to that unknown that you're so worried about, it might be tomorrow or next week or next year, when you finally get there and you've been worrying all along. If you would just say, you know, I'm trusting the Lord for this. When you finally get there, the Lord shall direct thy paths. How many times I've gotten to the end of that path and looked back and say, why was I worried about that? Man, was that a waste of time? I mean, I actually worried and fretted and stewed so much so ask my wife, when I get all stressed out and worried, my neck gets like tight as a rock. And I've got to take Tylenol or something, and I'm like, oh, my neck's killing me. And right away she'll say, what are you worried about? Yeah. Yeah, she knows me. And I'm confessing my weaknesses to you today. Yeah, worry. Oh, man, that's a killer, isn't it? We got to do away with it. The Lord says, look, trust me with all your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So let me ask you this morning, what percentage of all thine heart are you trusting the Lord? By the way, what percentage is all? 100%. The Lord says, I want 100% of your trust. You have to look at yourself and say, okay, the Lord wants 100% of my trust. What's the percentage I'm actually giving him? Is it 50? Is it 75? Is it 25? Is it zero? Only you can answer that. But if it's not 100, then we need to make some adjustments. Amen? He wants all of our trust. Then we have to say, am I leaning on my own understanding? Am I always trying to figure it out for myself? And then we have to ask this question. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So again, how many of your ways are all? It's all your ways. all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lord, what are we going to do here? Talk to the Lord, put Him first, ask Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He shall direct thy paths. In just two more chapters from here, we were in Matthew 6. Over in Matthew 8, there's a familiar story. Jesus gets in a boat with the disciples, and He knows that there's a storm of ruin. Yet, He goes in the ship and on purpose lays down and goes to sleep. As He closes His eyes, I think he must have said to Himself, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting. And He drifts off to sleep. Full confidence that He knows what's going on, He knows what's coming, and He knows how it ends. The disciples, on the other hand, right? Sometimes those guys are kind of comical, aren't they? The disciples, on the other hand, it's like when the storm comes, ah! You know, they're like, ah! They start, you know, they're freaking out, they're bailing water out, they're shouting and screaming, oh, we're gonna die, we're gonna die, we're gonna go in the deep. And they wake up Jesus, and you know, he's like, oh, you look of little faith. But you know, that story teaches me a lot. It teaches me a lot about me. Because when that uncertainty comes, I tend to do that. Brett, you're smiling. Okay, you're giving yourself away. that's me. But you know what? Those disciples, they said to the Lord, Lord, we're going to perish. Don't you care that we perish? Right away, they start talking about circumstances. Their focus was on the circumstance, the storm, the wind, the rain, the lightning, the thunder, all this, all these circumstances. And the Lord basically is trying to get them to think about this. Yeah, I see the circumstances, but who do you think's in the boat with you? Oh, yeah. Duh. Oh, yeah. But you know what? I said to the Sunday school class, I think it was earlier, I hope I could answer this correctly and honestly. If I had to choose between the Lord taking away my circumstances or just having Him with me in the circumstances, I hope I would choose having Him with me. Because His presence is much more precious than facing the circumstances on my own. What would you choose? You know, we tend to say, Lord, take this away. Even Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, said, Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh. It's really bugging me. Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. What was He saying? He said, I'm with you. Take your eyes off the circumstance and put them on me. Oh, how are we going to pay that bill? Take your eyes off that circumstance and put your eyes on Him. I don't mean be careless. Obviously, we have to plan and care and work out things. That goes without saying, I hope. But in the big picture, boy, we need to trust the One who's with us all the time. We need to trust the One who's in our boat. Amen? And that's a great story from Matthew chapter 8. Let me just close with these pointers. If you're taking notes, these will be a good things to write down. Just some observations from this story. Number one, acknowledge that worry accomplishes nothing positive. You might have to say to yourself in your brain, Bill, worrying about this isn't going to accomplish anything. Oh, boy, the confessions today are really, amen, we got revival going on here. No, that's what we need to do. Just confess it to yourself, to the Lord, say, look, worrying is not going to change anything, so just stop it. Worry accomplishes nothing positive. Number two, acknowledge. Why am I using the word acknowledge? Because you need to say it to yourself. Acknowledge that Jesus wants you to trust Him. Now that's a big duh. The whole Bible is about trust. Of course God wants us to trust Him. You know what's funny? What's not funny, but interesting to me, and I'm guilty too. I trusted the Lord with my soul. Cole? Yeah. Cole, I trusted the Lord with my soul. The most valuable thing I have. And yet I can't trust Him with tomorrow. Or with what I'm going to wear. What am I going to drink? What am I going to eat? How am I going to pay that? There's like a disconnect there. What's going on here? I trusted Him with my very soul to take me to heaven and to deliver me from hell. If I can do that, surely I can trust Him with my daily living. So the Lord wants us, acknowledge that He wants you to trust Him. Number three. Here's a word we don't like sometimes. Discipline. Discipline your mind to focus on today. It's when you allow your mind, undisciplined, just to go to tomorrow. Or to go about next week and say, I'm overwhelmed. I was a little overwhelmed this week. In addition to working three jobs, I went on the bus route this morning. I was the bus captain. The only thing I didn't do was lead singing. I thought, I should just lead singing, then I can say I've done it all. Taught this morning, preaching now, preaching tonight. And then I worked all week, so it was quite a full plate this week. But I love it. I love serving the Lord. But you know, I had to not let my mind go too far into the future. I had to say, wait a minute. Today. Just get through today. Amen? One step at a time. Let's just focus on today. And we have to discipline our minds to do that, because your mind does not want to do that. It wants to go there. Discipline your mind to focus on today. Number four. Cast your cares on the Lord, for He careth for you. I'm not saying that what you're worried about is not important, because sometimes we have some things to be worried about. I have to say, when my wife called and said the doctor said it was cancer, I can't tell you I didn't worry. I worried. I fretted. I said, cancer? Yes, stage 3. Are you serious? So, yeah, I worried. And we worried together for a couple weeks until finally we said, look, worrying's not doing anything. We began to research what our options were and just let's focus on what we can do now. Remember earlier I said the Lord's approach is what can we do now, today? And so that's the approach we took. And day by day but during that whole time, guess what? We cast our cares on the Lord. Lord, this is too big for me. I'm giving it to You. Living by faith is just simply walking through life with the confidence that I've rolled up my problems and threw them onto the Lord. That's living by faith. And living, that's trusting Him. Number five, and this is an important one, when you find yourself picking them back up, you have to do it over again. Because here's what we do. Oh, hey, Lord, here's my burdens. Lord sitting there. Here's my burdens, Lord. Aha! I cast my cares upon the Lord, for He cares for me. We pick them back up, don't we? We start fretting again. When you catch yourself doing that, say, hold it. And cast them back again. Give them back to the Lord. Don't take them back up. We're tempted to do that, and we do sometimes. Well, we'll close. I was going to give my closing illustration about Jesus in the boat, but I already told it. So there's no closing illustration. but all that to say this. Hey, let's make a choice to trust. You say, I've already trusted the Lord. He's my Savior. I don't mean that. Now, if you need to do that, yeah, do that. But I'm talking about daily living. Jesus said, don't take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow's got enough problems on its own. Just worry about today. Take no thought about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear, how are we going to get through. Don't take thought about that. Look, trust me. Trust me. You don't think I take care of the sparrows? You don't think I take care of the robins? You don't think I take care of the cockatoos? I had to say that for Australia's sake. I take care of the birds. I take care of the deer. I take care of the pheasants. I take care of everybody. I'll take care of you too. Besides, you're more important than all those animals. Amen.